Radio 1.
The Business on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Electric Ireland. Our business is understanding yours.
Good morning. Coming up, the woman making the calls at Vodafone Ireland, blowing the whistle on match fixing, and emotional roller coasters in the workplace. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1850 715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie, or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. But first, to a story that you can't have missed this week. The news that Garth Brooks may cancel his 5 sellout shows in Croke Park. It follows a decision by Dublin City Council to refuse a licence for 2 of the dates because of local residents' concerns. Brooks issued an ultimatum to the council. It was either 5 shows or none. We're joined now by the promoter of the event, Peter Aiken of Aiken Promotions. Peter, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
This is a bit of a disaster, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's devastating, the whole thing, you know. I mean, just, I never seen this coming. I completely blindsided. I was under the belief that I would get a licence with some heavy conditions maybe associated with it, about, you know, finishing times and things like that and level of stewarding and all that. But through the whole process when we started this here, I never, ever got an inkling that this was going to happen.
You must have been in regular contact with Dublin City Council.
Of course we were.
And they're saying that it was never, you know, formally brought up. And they're saying that informally at meetings with your agent,
yeah,
that their concerns were expressed as far back as April.
Well, there's concerns for any... There's concern every time you go in with an application for a licence, there is concerns. It could be anything to traffic management. It could be anything to, you know, the day of the week that it's in. So, I mean, there's always concerns, but I never got an inkling at any meeting or any of the people who were working alongside me, Jim Clark or Eamonn Boyle, who have been doing this for the best part of 25 years for us, never give me an inkling that this could be in trouble. Because if I had got an inkling of it, I would act it. I wouldn't be reckless and just keep going. I would have rang the Garth Brooks and told him, stop, we can't do this. I never got an inkling from Croke Park, you know. Croke Park never got an inkling either. I said to them, are we okay? We're okay. That's what I was told. And that's why I proceeded. Aiken Promotions are going 53 years. I've never done anything reckless, and we're not going to start doing things reckless.
One of the problems seems to be that in not getting the licence for 2 of the dates,
yeah,
and tickets have been sold,
yeah,
and there are problems around,
yeah,
that. Why, and I don't understand this, why is Garth Brooks saying it's 5 gigs or none? Surely there's 26 million of ticket sales on the 3 gigs. Surely
also,
it could go ahead.
And he's seen it the whole... This thing started out, we were going to try for 2 shows. Originally, when I broached the subject with him, he thought we should do 1 show, because 17 years ago, we were only able to sell 120,000 tickets. 3 nights, it was very impressive business. So we were coming back and I persuaded him to do, let's go with 2 shows, which was 160,000 tickets, 40,000 tickets more than we'd sold 17 years ago. He hadn't done a whole lot. He'd done some shows in Vegas and things like that, but he'd no new product out. How were we able to go and do 2 shows? That was a gamble, and that's the business that I'm in. And he went along with it. I never thought it would roller coaster in this. I thought we would sell maybe 60-70% of the tickets in the first week and then right up to a couple of weeks before it. But the thing just took off like a runaway train that I have never seen before. And I don't think it'll ever happen again that we'd be able to sell that amount of tickets for any artist. He was coming in to do 5 shows. That's what it ended up. And the whole thing, what we talked about, the type of show we were going to put on originally, I think it was on the 2nd of January in Las Vegas, I met him with my team. The show that we talked about doing and what we ended up with is a completely different show.
So in other words, when the demand for 5 shows was there,
yeah,
the costs associated with the scale of the show,
not just that there, not just that there, but the type of show that he wanted to put on for the 5 nights, it was this spectacular show, and a lot of the stuff it was been custom made for Croke Park. And I mean, I think his team have been in Croke Park maybe 3 times on site visits, and we've been over to America twice on site visits. And the whole thing was based around an event, which was the 5 shows. And Garth Brooks is the type of guy that if he came in and he did 3 shows, he would feel it'd be such an anticlimax to him for the 160,000 people who didn't get to see him.
But it'd be a huge anticlimax for the 400,000 if none of the
shows
would, go ahead.
But how would he, you know, when people seen this show on the first night and the reviews of it and people talking about it, how would the 160,000 people feel? That's where he was coming from. He's seen this as one big event. He's coming in to make a DVD, a documentary as well.
But he could still do that on 3 shows, couldn't he?
Well, we're going to film all 5 shows. That's the problem, you know. And, you know, I can understand. I mean, I was hoping that he would turn around and say, well, let's do the three and come up and maybe come back at a later time to Croke Park in October and do the other two, something like that, you know, when the All-Irelands are over, something like that. But the idea of moving to a different venue, it just wouldn't work because the stuff is custom-made for Croke Park. I mean, there's 12 trucks, 12 shipments or 12 container loads have already left America en route here. And these are special lights that are going to be put into the Cusick and the Hogan stand. We're starting, or they're scheduled to start on the 12th of July in Croke Park. That's how big a build this is.
And if you look back at January and February and the beginnings of all of this, did you get carried away by the sheer demand and this potential success? And you kind of forgot about the licence issue?
No, I never forgot about the licence because we started immediately putting the whole process together, and we met Dublin City Council shortly after the tickets went on sale.
Did they say, what about residents here? We'll have to look into
that. Of course
that.
They did. Of course they did. They brought that up straight away. And, you know, they said, this is a big, big ask, you know, and this is a big, big job. But, I mean, we didn't walk in and they just said, listen, this isn't going to happen. That never happened.
Well, they weren't in a position to make that decision until much later, and as we know, really only this week.
Yeah.
But there must have been a question mark in your mind about the residents.
There was a question mark always, that because the residents, the representatives of some of the residents' associations had made it quite clear that they were going to take legal action. You know, they always said that there was always a threat that they were going to seek a High Court injunction. So that's where I always seen the problem being, not Dublin City Council.
One of the problems now is that when Garth Brooks comes out and says, you know, I'm not going to do any shows, it's five or none.
Yeah.
He's putting enormous pressure on Dublin City Council, on the residents who have, you know, concerns for their own sort of personal quality of life and issues they have around that. He's almost sort of bullying.
I wouldn't call him
institutions
I know
in
him
Ireland
well.
About it.
I know him quite well. He's not. He's so far removed from that type of person. But
is he just in a huff about it?
I don't think he's in a huff about it. I think I can understand where he's coming from. To play three shows and not do the other two shows, his attitude is better not playing to anybody then. Why play three nights and then we have 160,000 people who don't see the show?
When you contacted him and told him the news that two dates weren't going to happen, what did he say?
He was shocked because I told him all along, any time that I was speaking to him or his management, I told him that everything was okay. And believe me again when I say that if I had any inkling that this was going to be a problem, I would have flagged it. I wouldn't be just, let's try and roller coaster over the whole thing and, you know, just shoo this show in regardless of what people are telling me, you know. If somebody said, listen, this isn't going to happen, I would have informed him straight away.
Did he say to you in that conversation, well, look, Peter, I'm not going to do any, it's five or none? Was that something he thought about afterwards?
I told him what had happened, and then my memory's right, we agreed to talk in a couple of hours afterwards to everybody got their thoughts together because it came such, you know, I think it came out at about 10:30. I was in Croke Park when it came out, and it was just like everybody, including Croke Park, we were devastated, you know. It was just like it was the biggest shock I've ever got, you know.
What about the costs associated with all of this now? Yeah. For you, for Garth Brooks, you're saying there's a ship already left port with a load of containers. If no gigs go ahead now, what happens? How much will it cost? Are you insured for it?
No, you can't get insurance for it. Can't get insurance. We're not insured because you can only get insurance for if we got a license. And we only got a license for three events. But he'll be out millions himself.
But you'd be insured on the loss of the three events.
I'm not too sure about that there. You know, I'm not too sure whether I am covered for that yet.
What would it cost you if the insurance doesn't kick in?
It'll be seven figures anyway. Seven figures, easy.
And what about Garth Brooks? What would it cost him?
It'll cost him millions. I mean, a lot of this stuff is custom built. I mean, he's commissioned a whole film crew to come in. I think there was like maybe 88 of them or 89 of them were coming in. I mean, all that there's been commissioned.
Do you have...
And, you know, he was going to, you know, I mean, his whole world tour, his comeback after 17 years, and I think it's a three-year project he's got, was all going to start in Ireland. That's where it was starting.
Do you have an appreciation, Peter, for the local residents and how they feel about being tied up for a week and five nights?
Of course. Of course, I mean, you know, of course I do. I mean, it's something that has never happened before, five nights, and it'll never happen again. Of course I've got sympathy for them, you know.
So you can understand why they would have taken
this anywhere action. I go, when I went to Bruce Springsteen in Limerick last year, there was residents' objections. You know, I mean, of course I would have total understanding of it.
What about just doing the whole thing elsewhere?
There's nowhere to do it because of the licence application. You'd have to have, you know, it takes 10 weeks to get a licence in. And then I'm sure, you know, where could we go with it? You know, 400,000 tickets, there's no venue that could take that. And as I said before, a lot of the pieces that he's putting in, the screens, lighting, special effects, are custom for Croke Park. And Croke Park, as he's always got on record over the past 17 years, was his favourite gig, you know. And when he came in and he's seen it, it's been redeveloped. You know, he was there when it was half done. When he came back and he seen it, I mean, standing on the pitch, he says, this is the greatest stadium he's ever stood in.
But even a huge venue like the Phoenix Park, where size, scale wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, but we sold 50,000 seats as well, you know. So then you go up to the Phoenix Park and you've got 80,000 standing. And I'm sure the residents up there, I mean, they, you know, anything that's ever gone up there, they've made a lot of objections too, you know. It's just not that simple.
Where does it stand right now, Saturday morning? Are there no concerts as things stand right now?
Yeah, there's no concerts.
They have been formally cancelled?
No, they haven't been cancelled, but we're still a bit of hope. We're still working behind the scenes, both ourselves and Croke Park. And I think that a final decision will have to be made Monday or Tuesday.
And what are the options there for those behind the scenes initiatives? What are they?
Just to see, you know, well, I mean, it's all, you know, it's quite private and, you know, private and it's just, we're just going to keep working away as much as we can, meeting as many people as we can and doing whatever we can to try and get some light at the end of this, you know, and in constant contact with Garth Brooks and his representatives.
Do you think, Peter, that you could have done more of that in the early stages, perhaps? Would that have helped, or what would you have done differently?
Well, I think, I don't know what I could have done different. I don't know what I could have done different, to be honest. I've been racking my brains thinking about that all for the past couple of days. You know, we've been through the process as we've done so many other times. And, you know, we thought we'd every base covered. We employed a solicitor, William Fries, to, you know, which we've never done before, to double check our licence before we put it in, to make sure that everything was okay. We proofread it, I don't know many times. We went to all the meetings. We met with all the representative statutory bodies. There was nothing that was left. I can't turn around and say to the people who put this together on behalf of Aiken Promotions, you did a bad job. They did it 100%.
If you were a betting man at this moment in time, yeah, would you place a bet on there being no concerts, five concerts?
Maybe after the weekend I'd be in a better position to say something like that, you know. But I mean, I'm not giving up hope yet, you know.
When are you due to talk to Garth Brooks? Because ultimately it's his decision now whether it's three or none.
Well, he's made it clear that it's either five or none.
And are you trying to persuade him to change his mind on that?
Well, I mean, I try to, you know, it's, I've mentioned it to him and he says, you know how I feel, and that's it.
You don't think he'll back down
no,
on that issue?
No, I don't think he'll back down.
You and your family and the business, Aiken yeah. Promotions, have known Garth Brooks and his people for a long time.
Yeah. Right back from the very start, you know.
How did that come about?
It came about with, you know, there was a fellow actually in Castle Blaney told us about him, but we hear things like that all the time. You know, this is a great actor, people are buying this CD, but then it sort of gathered a bit of momentum and the old fellow happened to be in America at the time and he went to see him in Fargo.
This is your late father,
yeah,
Jim?
Yeah, dad, Jim. He went to see him in Fargo and he went to the show, he didn't know any of the songs or anything, but when he seen him, he says, this is an unbelievable act, the place was going, you know, the atmosphere was incredible, he said, and then he met him afterwards, and they got on very well, and he liked him, and then when it took off, about 6 months later, he went to see him in America, and he offered him 8 shows, and offered him a guarantee, and he turned around and says he didn't need a guarantee, and that was it, it was just a handshake, and it took off from then, and then we became, when he was getting a big award one time for selling 100 million records, he invited myself and Mary, my wife, and mum and dad, and the four of us flew out, and he looked after us exceptionally well, so it sort of came from there, you know. He liked dad, and dad liked him a lot.
So you've obviously kept in close contact yeah. over the years.
Yeah.
Is your relationship with him now fractured by this? I mean, is he saying to you, yeah. Peter, you made a judgment call yeah. that it was going to be all right, and
I wouldn't
it's
say
not.
It's fractured, but I'd say he's very disappointed that I told him all along that everything was going to be, you know, that it was all okay, everything was going ahead, and the plans that they were making, and the investment they were making, you know, and the amount of people that he had hired for this project, and then he has to turn around and tell them that it's off, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say it's fractured, but I'd say there's a big level of disappointment there.
What about the reputation to your own business yeah. from this? Are yeah. you worried about that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think it's, as I said before, we've been going for 53 years and we've, you know, there's never been any controversy about Aiken Promotions about anything. And, you know, we paid every bill, we never, you know, and we've done business both north and south through the bad times in the north. We kept going through everything. We put up with some horrendous situations at times. So it will do a lot of damage to me, both personally and financially. You can't recover from it. You know, as a concert promoter, I take everything very personal, you know, and I don't feel good about it today. I woke up this morning, I didn't want to come in here, I didn't feel up for it, you know, I didn't feel that I'd be fit to answer the questions. I just don't feel good, and it won't be good for me financially, that's for sure. That's not good. I've got three kids and a wife and stuff in them too, you know.
Surely it would be better for you and for the business if three concerts went ahead, because there will be a certain number of very disappointed people, but there'll be a lot of other happy people
as
well.
What do we do with 160,000 people who turn up with tickets for those nights? You know, they turn up when the shows are on, demanding they get in. What do we do with them?
Well,
what happens to 5,000 of them?
They'd be refunded, won't they?
What happens to the two nights? But they want to see that. What happens if they turn up and say, we just want to be there anyway to see the show? You could have a huge public order, incident, you know.
But a lot of them just simply won't arrive if they've come, if they're due to come from abroad, if they get a refund on their ticket.
I still think that a lot of people would turn up. I don't know. I mean, he has told me quite clearly that it's five or nothing. And, you know, if you're asking me, would I like him to do the three shows? Of course I would like him to do the three shows. But he has said that what he bought into was the five shows. That's what it ended up at this event, and that's what he wants to do.
So over the weekend, there are ongoing contacts with residents. Are you...
Not residents, it's more ourselves and the venue, and, you know.
And the venue are talking to the residents.
Yeah, the venue are working behind the scenes, you know.
Will you meet the residents personally yourself?
I would if they wanted me to, you know. But, I mean, there's 13, I think there's 12 or 13 different residence groups, you know. I mean, the residents, the residence groups is anybody within 1.5 kilometres of the area. I think it's like, I think it's somewhere around 28,000 homes. That's a lot of people.
So what happens now? The decision will be made on Monday or Tuesday if you can't get some kind of an agreement from the residents that they would drop their objections. But Dublin City Council says they don't even have a mechanism to reverse
right.
this.
That's right. I mean, it's a strange piece of legislation, that there is no appeal in it, you know. There's no appeal.
There was some suggestion from the Kieran Mulvey report that a fund would be available to the residents.
Yeah.
Is there an option there of increasing that fund? Is that something that you would look at?
What fund was that?
A local fund.
Well, that's always been, there always has been a fund there.
But can that be increased? Can you offer them?
Well, we did. We offered 500,000 on top of the 100,000. That was 600,000. That was the benefit to the residence groups, you know.
Kieran Mulvey suggested on radio that one option might be that Croke Park would give an undertaking that there would be no concerts next year instead of the sort of the three per year that had been agreed.
I don't know. That's I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of Croke Park.
What do you think of that idea?
I think it'd be... I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think it would... I wasn't aware of that, you know.
How do you think Croke Park and the GAA have handled it from your dealings with them?
They've been 100%. You know, I asked them, you know... Back in late December, was the venue available? And they told me that it was. And then I asked them about doing extra shows, and they told me it was. And I mean, they never got an inkling either. Don't forget that. I mean, they're the other party in this, you know. And they never rang me up and said, you know, something, we've got a serious problem here. Not once.
Can anyone at this stage, do you think, step in and do something or break the deadlock on this issue?
I don't know. I mean, I know that ourselves in Croke Park are working behind the scenes and meeting various parties and people and trying to get some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. We don't want to disappoint 400,000 people, you know.
But maybe they should be talking to Garth Brooks, convincing him to go ahead with three concerts.
Well, he's made it clear, you know, he's that type of guy. He made it clear, and I don't think he's going to back down from that, you know.
Okay. Peter Aiken of Aiken Promotions, thanks very much for joining us on the programme.